today as we come to the table.
Whatever you're struggling with, don't pretend. Tell him, I need your help, God. I don't want to go that way. I've been in that city. I want to be free. And this is something that remains with me. It's like it's determined to stay here. That same thing I've struggled with is determined to pull me back in. And I'm just being honest. God, set me free. Help me. That's a prayer our Father loves. He doesn't sit up there and go, I knew it. I knew it. About time. I knew it. Oh, you're in trouble. Now, Mark, I'll tell you what. Now. He goes, I know this. I know that. Now, you give it to me. Mark, you choose to stay away from those areas where you can stumble, and you give it to me, and I'll set you free.
Isn't it interesting how little kids often shy away from admitting they've had a little mishap in their bed? Perhaps they're a bit shy about admitting their slip-ups. Yet, when the moment arrives, parents handle everything with a heart full of love and zero judgment. Similarly, you might find yourself grappling with a secret sin that's been keeping you captive for quite a while. Perhaps you're feeling a bit shy about opening up to someone about this. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. So, how often do you find yourself talking about your problems with your Creator? Today, Pastor Mark is here to inspire you to reach out for God's help in overcoming sin. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Judges, chapter 1, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
Verse 25, he says, he showed them the entrance of the city, and they struck the city with what? The edge of the sword. Remember, how is it that you defeat sin in your life? The word of God. The Bible says God's word is our sword. You strike it with the edge of the sword. It is written. It is written. I speak to the young man. It is written, flee sexual immorality. If you're a young man, you're not married, that's a temptation. And when the temptation comes, and it will over and over, because we're human, you say this, it is written, flee sexual immorality. And you quote it, and you resist it, and you don't look at these things, you don't watch those things, and you stay away from the areas where you can stumble. God will give you power, and God will set you free. And whatever area of your life you're dealing with, you use the edge of the sword. Quote scripture, memorize scripture, and battle against it with scripture. Now, here's the amazing thing about this guy. Look, God gives him another chance. God, through the children of Israel, sets him free. And look at verse 26. And this is where the guy, I believe, messes up. We don't know what ultimately happened with him. But this right here, I think the Holy Spirit is showing us this is a mistake that any of us can make. Verse 26, and the man went to the land of the Hittites, built a city, note this, and called its name Luz, which is its name even to this day. Guys, look at what this guy did. God set him free from the city of Luz, which was a city of sin, which was a city that God was judging. He goes in God's mercy after escaping, and he goes and builds another city with the exact same name. Here's the bottom line. It's not that the name was being judged. It shows, I think, the heart of the man that came out of the city of Luz. You know, you can take the man out of Luz, but can you get the Luz out of the man? It would almost be like somebody who goes out and they get drunk and they drive 100 miles an hour down Pellissippi. They have a terrible wreck and God spares their life. And they live. They made it. They're okay. But they get a DUI. They've got some consequences, but they're alive and no one else was injured. And what does that person do as soon as they get out? They go right back, get drunk again, and start driving at 100 miles an hour. Listen, the bottom line is if God has given you another chance and let you escape the city of judgment, don't go back to it. This guy had it simply built into his DNA. He was a loser. Now that's corny, but it gets the point across. We can either live our lives as losers, going back to the same judgment over and over and over, or we can say, God, in your mercy, you set me free from that. I will not go back. You know, from time to time, the enemy will tempt me and say, you know, yeah, but boy, remember the party days? Hey, that was some fun time. Hey, and wait a minute. I also remember all the gross stuff, you know, and all the stuff that I don't want to talk about. He tends to want to bring up the good times that went with the sin we were involved in, but he's real quiet when it comes to all the throw up that followed that. Have you ever noticed that? And the Bible says a dog, it's like a dog returning to his what? When God sets you free, listen, when Satan does that, and recently some things come, you know, yeah, I really want to, you know, here's what always comes to my mind. I've been to that city. I lived in that city a long time. I know what's in that city. I'm not going back, and I don't want to go back. I want to go to the new city, the city of God that God has for me in heaven, where I'm going to live forever in freedom with him. That's the city we're to be looking toward. Not the old city in the past, but this is what the enemy tries to draw every single one of us back to. And if you don't admit it, you're lying. Happens to the pastor on down. There's nothing special about being a pastor. It just means that if I get in trouble, it has a bigger impact. How about that? But if you get in trouble, it causes an impact on the body of Christ as well. We're in this thing together as a family. And we need to pray for each other, and we need to flee, and we need to have defeat and to drive the enemy out of our life and live in that freedom that God has, and not to be like this guy. Oh, yeah, you set me free, but yeah, I'm going to build another city with the same name because I remember what it was like. Yeah, it might be kind of bad now, but there were some good times, you know, whatever. No, there's not. It leads to death and darkness. It's the same path. It's the same death. It will not change for eternity. And those who remain in it are going to be sucked down with it into eternity. And so we go for the upward call of Jesus Christ. Well, now he jumps into the rest of these cities, moving on down, starting in verse 27, or the rest of the tribes, rather, as they go in to take their territory. And notice how they just fail over and over and over. However, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth-Shean and its villages, or Taanach and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Ibleim and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages, for the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. Notice, first of all, he went in and got partial victory, but did not drive everyone out of these villages like God commanded him to do. That is the tribe of Manasseh. And why? Because it brings us to the next type of sin. Notice the last sentence in that verse, they were determined to dwell in the land. Listen, there are some sins that are determined they're going to stay in your life. No matter how hard you try, no matter how many promises, I will not do that next week. Okay, I did it again, but next week I will not do that. All right, I did it again, but next week, and week after week after week, all we see is that we are weak. Guys, we can't do it. It's God's power and God's power alone. And there are sins that are determined, I'm not leaving. Oh, yes, you will. No, I'm not. Yes, you will. No, I'm not. And they're like little arms are crossed. Like, right? There's the only way to deal with them again is the power of God. It's simply making the right choices. I'm not going to give this determined sin an opportunity. And God, you've got to set me free. Listen, I think a lot of times God is just waiting for us to say to him, I really want you. I want to be set free. When I'm struggling with temptation, I don't try to hide it. God sees everything. You ever think God doesn't see it? You think we're getting, you know, don't say it, because God, he knows what you're thinking. He knows everything about you. I remember when our kids were little, you know, you play that hide and seek game and they get behind this one little tree with a branch and they're like this much bigger than it. You know, like, well, not that big. They'd have been giants, right? Right. The Nephilim. I've got the Elphilim. I've got the reverse. But they're anyway, so they're like this wide and they're behind this little tree and they're giggling. And you're going, where are they? I can't see them. And you're going, and you know exactly where they are, and you see everything about them. And they jump back and go, here I am. And they start giggling. A lot of times when we pray, and we're not just being flat out honest with the Lord, we're like that little kid behind that tree. And he's going, you know what? Come out from behind that little stick and be honest with me. Lord, I'm struggling with lust. Well, thank you for admitting it. Lord, I'm struggling with wanting to steal money from a boss. Well, then thank you for laying that out there. Lord, I've got, and whatever you're struggling with, don't pretend. Tell him, I need your help, God. I don't want to go that way. I've been in that city. I want to be free. And this is something that remains with me. It's like it's determined to stay here. That same thing I've struggled with is determined to pull me back in. And I'm just being honest. God, set me free. Help me. That's a prayer our Father loves. He doesn't sit up there and go, I knew it. I knew it. About time, I knew it. Oh, you're in trouble now, Mark. I'll tell you what. Now. He goes, I know this. I know that. Now, you give it to me. Mark, you choose to stay away from those areas where you can stumble, and you give it to me, and I'll set you free. You make the right choices, I'll give you the power. You got a deal. God just wants honesty. He wants heart. The sad Christian is the one that doesn't even want to be free. They don't mind that. That's determined to stay. I don't mind. We'll get to that in just a moment. That's not even really under this particular sin title, if you will, but we'll get to that in just a moment because there are those sins that do that. But this is the one here again where it's just determined to stay, and no matter what we do, it seems like it's always there. God says, no, I will set you free even from determined sin, even if you failed over and over and over. The problem is you've got to make the right choice. And I'm going to give you the first, really one of the main things to set you free from all these types of sin, especially determined sin, and that is choices. Choices. Guys, the choices that you make are going to determine what stay in your life. Remember, we talked about that hidden entrance in that city, in and out, that they had there. If we choose to close off that door, once God shows us what it is, I'm not going to go to that place anymore. I'm not going to call that person anymore. I'm going to break off that relationship. I had someone come up to me after first service that said, you know what? This really got my heart today, and I realized God wants me to be free, and I've got a friend that's keeping me from being free. Because this friend is pulling me towards sin and things I don't need to be involved in. But this is a long-term friend for many years. We're very close. And I don't know how to break this off. What do I do? So we spent some time talking about breaking it off. But this person made their mind up today. I'm breaking off a friendship that I've had for years. Think about that. Today, I'm breaking a friendship that I've had for years because that friendship is leading me down the road of sin and I want to be free. Guys, that's a heart that wants God. God will honor that heart. If you love God more than your friends, that's a heart God will honor. If you love God more than your parents, more than your wife, more than your husband, more than anything on this planet, God will honor that heart and he will move in great ways in your life. And I don't care what kind of determined sin you have, God is more determined to get rid of it if you mean it. But you've got to make the right choices. Make right choices, whatever those choices are, and you'll get rid of the determined sin. Look at verse 28. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute, but they did not completely drive them out. Here comes our next type of sin. And guys, this one is so sneaky. It is the sin we put under tribute. Or might I say this, it is the temptation that we put under tribute. Mark, what do you mean? Tribute meant that you were the master over something because you had more strength than it did. You see, they had taken most of the land. They had more strength than the remaining people, but rather than drive them out as God said to them, they let them remain. But they didn't worry about them because they're just a small little area and they're under my power. They're under tribute to me. So I'll control them. I'll use them for my purposes. And you never know, there might even be a time that I can kind of play with that area ever so often. Again, here's the bottom line. Do we have areas of temptation that we're not completely getting rid of? And what I mean by that is maybe it's something that we kind of like. We're not really doing it. We're not really in sin. But, you know, it is kind of there. And it's kind of fun to play with every so often. Maybe, you know, we're really into sports. And after all, it is the Sports Illustrated. Yeah, I know it's the Sports Illustrated swimsuit edition, but I'm not really buying it for that reason. I really just love football. And the fact that it's in there, I'm strong enough. I'll just kind of go through those pages kind of fast. Little faster than the other ones, but it's under my control. I'm not really being drawn in. I'm not really desiring another woman. It's not really mental adultery. It's under tribute. I've got control of it. Listen to me. If you have an area in your life that you've got under tribute that's a temptation, you've got to kick it out of the house. It can't live anywhere around you because here's what happens, and this is what happened to the children of Israel later on. These peoples that were under tribute, they started getting stronger. And Israel, because they didn't do what God said, started getting weaker. And when we don't do what God says, we start getting spiritually weaker, and the flesh is always strong. Have you noticed? And if we allow the spirit side to begin to wane and the flesh side to begin to get stronger, what happens? These temptations that we're able to handle because we're mature. I'm mature, I can handle that. It doesn't bother me. I can watch that and a little bit of flesh. I can handle that. I'm not tempted. Be careful, believer, because it's going to rise up and conquer you. And that's exactly what happened to the children of Israel. That's why God, in his all-knowing wisdom, said, don't let it stay. Don't put them under tribute. Drive them out. Don't settle for anything. You've got to be the ones. If you want to be totally free in the land that I've given you, you've got to take action and do the right things to be free. And whenever I see someone that will take the right action to be free, God never lacks in the power, ever. He's always got the power to set us free, and he will set us free. And it's only a matter of time until it takes us over. So he says, that, look, notice, they didn't drive them completely out. And look at verse 29. It brings us to our last type of sin. Then we just finish out with the struggles they have in the rest of the chapter. But it says, nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites who dwelt in Gezer. So the Canaanites dwell in Gezer among them. Again, interesting, the meaning of Gezer. Gezer means just a portion. And here's the next type of sin. Okay, I'm going to keep just a portion of it. I mean, I'm not going to really get drunk anymore. I know I came out of alcoholism and all that. And there's nothing wrong in a Christian drinking, right? Heard the pastor say that. So I'll just have a beer every so often, although I know that's kind of there. Just a portion. Maybe sometimes I'll have a couple of beers, just a portion. Again, this is not a teaching on alcohol, so bear with me on this. I'm talking about the person who in this area is struggling and been set free. And they get pulled back into it. I'll just keep that portion. Listen, when I gave my life to the Lord, I knew the things that I needed to get rid of. I came out of a music background, and I had all these, all the classics, you know, and I had this, and I had that, whatever, and everything. And I knew when I came to the Lord, there's that temptation to go, well, it's just a portion, and I'll keep that portion under tribute. And I don't need to really, and it won't pull me back into that world of that kind of music. Because one of certain types of music would draw me in. You know, I mean, I have to be careful around the heavy metal stuff. I mean, you go, yeah, okay, yeah, heavy metal. But I mean, there's something in my spirit. It kicks in. I'm like, yeah. I'm like, okay, whoa, 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 whoa. And I start pulling my flesh back going, no, 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 no. It's not that heavy metal's bad, but Mark, when you get involved in it, it gets a little bit crazy. So pull back. Pull back. So I'm not attacking heavy metal. I'm saying for certain people like me, I've got to be careful about that. But if I take just a portion and put it under tribute, I'll be fine. You know, God told me, throw it all in the trash, every bit of it. And I thought, yeah, but this is valuable stuff. I could sell it at a garage sale. Well, if it's poison for you, you want to sell poison to someone else? Lord, throw it away. Boom. I was free. I'm not picking on music or the kind of music you like or don't like. I'm making a point. Whatever area you struggle in, he doesn't want you to put it under tribute. He doesn't want you to keep a portion of it. He doesn't want it to be in Gezer. He doesn't want it to be a geezer, however you say it. Yeah, get rid of the geezer. Wait a minute. You wives might be thinking I'm saying get rid of your husband. I'm not saying that. Don't get rid of the geezer. Gezer. That's better, right? Okay, Gezer, get out of here. I'm saying it properly. Guys, there can't be a portion that remains. If you're struggling, God may say to you, there may be some of you guys that, again, that you're not going to stumble at that. But there may be some of you in whatever area, you pick the area. And you know that you're still being drawn into that because there's a pull. Whatever it is, you need to totally wipe it out. You know, when God sent them into the land, he said, take all their idols and destroy them. He didn't say, keep them as a mantelpiece. Lord, I don't follow that God. I don't, but this is like a relic. This is valuable. I'll put it right there. Destroy it because it will pull you into a direction you don't need to go. And whatever that idol is, whatever that thing is that's pulling you in the direction you don't need to go, if you want to be free, if you don't want to be like the other 10 and the other 2 million that died in the wilderness, but you want to be like Joshua and Caleb, here's your choice. Destroy it. You want to walk in freedom and be like Joshua and Caleb? Then do it. Otherwise, you're going to live in the wilderness the rest of your life. And so this is God's path to freedom for the believer. And notice the failures they have from 30 on. Look at verse 30. Nor did Zebulun drive out the inhabitants of Kitron or the inhabitants of Nahalal. So the Canaanites dwelt among them and were put under tribute. Nor did Asher drive out the inhabitants of Akko or the inhabitants of Sidon or of Ihob or not Ihop, I'm sorry, Ahlob. Drove out Ihop and drove out Waffle House and all those. I'm just kidding. Achzib and Helbon, Aphek and Rahab. So the Asherites dwelt among the Canaanites, the inhabitants of the land, for they did not drive them out. Nor did Naphtali drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh or the inhabitants of Beth Anoth, and they dwelt among the Canaanites and the inhabitants of the land. Nevertheless, the inhabitants of Beth Shemesh and Beth Anoth were put under tribute to them. And the Amorites, look at this. Now here's another thing that happens. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains, and they would not allow them to come down in the valley. See, guys, this is not a type of sin, but this is a result. If we don't completely drive out the enemy, there are places that we can't walk in freedom in because the enemy will drive us to a certain place in that area. And here, because they didn't drive them completely out, now the enemy's driving them to the mountains, denying them part of the land that God gave them. We should never be denied one inch of ground that God gives us. And the Amorites were determined, again, look at that, to dwell in Mount Heres, in Ajalon, and Shalabim. Yet when the strength of the house of Joseph became great, they were put under tribute. And the boundary of the Amorites was from the ascent of Akrabim, from Selah, and upward. It's interesting, the boundary of the Amorites, the ascent of Akrabim, it means the ascent of the scorpions. He says the boundary where God had told them, okay, you cut them off, they can have that area, but you stay within this area, they can have the ascent of the scorpions, but you, I've given you this land. Why is that key to me? Number one, in Scripture, scorpions are a type of the demonic realm. What did Jesus say? I've given you power to trample on scorpions. Guys, I have the power to do that as an unbeliever. He's got a nice Texas boot, and there's the scorpion. He's gone, right? No, he's talking in the spirit. He's saying, I'm giving you as a believer the power over the demonic realm. If you'll walk in that power, I'm giving you power. And what he's saying to the children of Israel, I don't want you going on the ascent of the scorpions. I don't want you going into the land of the enemy. You stay out of the land of the enemy. You stay in the land I've given you. Listen, in Jesus Christ, we have great freedom. We are free. We're free in Christ. And I enjoy my freedom in Christ. But I also know that if I go to the ascent of the scorpions, if I start hanging out in the bar, if I start going, you know, and just because I really like the wings, you know, certain places that sell wings, and the women don't dress so nicely, I just like wings. I just like wings. Yeah, right. They sell wings a lot of places in town, right? If I'm going to the place of the scorpions, and I'm not saying there are demons there, don't get me wrong. If I go to where demons can work on me, how about that? If I go to a place where the demonic realm can work on me, then I'm going outside the boundary God has given me. I've got a big playground, but God says, now there's areas you're going to die. You don't need to be going to the ascent of Akrabim. You need to be staying right here away from the area of the demonic realm. Stay where I can keep you safe among the places that I've given you, among people that love you. And that's when you're going to find freedom. Guys, as we wrap this up today, here's the bottom line. Are there iron chariots or giants that have you afraid? Are there sins that are determined to stay in your life? Sins that you've put under tribute, the sins of Gezer, that just maybe just a portion you've allowed in there? Listen, God wants you to get rid of it all. And I'm not saying that even if some of these things you're struggling with means you're not going to heaven. I'm not saying that. What I'm saying is, do you want to walk in the land free or do you want to be under bondage? God has called you to freedom. He wants you to enjoy your freedom. He wants you to be in control of your life and to live for him and to bring him glory that he can shine through you. And the cleaner the vessel, the brighter the light. You get a jar and it's all mucked up, then what happens? It's got muck all over it, mud stuff. You try to look at that jar, you can't see a thing through it. You clean it, you shine it, you polish it, you wash it out. Man, that thing can shine light like you've never seen before. And so God wants to clean us up. He wants to shine his light through us, and most of all, simply out of a father's heart of love, he wants to set us free. I want my girls to be free and enjoy life. I don't want them to be in bondage. If I want that being evil, that is being sin nature, as Jesus said, how much more will the Heavenly Father want us to be pure and free walking with him?
This message you heard from the book of Judges today is just one of many. As we keep working our way through this book, here on Come to the Table. Pastor Mark Kirk is the teaching pastor of this ministry, and we come to you out of Calvary, Knoxville, in Knoxville, Tennessee. In the book of Judges, you hear and learn about Gideon, Jephthah, Deborah, and Samson. These are just a few of the judges that God appointed to the nation of Israel to help them get out of oppressive situations. Essentially, the people of Israel kept rebelling and going against the standards that God had established with Israel generations before. But typical of human nature, they ran away from God's rules, and they went and did whatever they wanted. These choices led them to an unpleasant place of judgment, because it was. Do you have situations where you're handing out consequences for sin with your children? Have you been on the receiving end of consequences or punishment? It's an uncomfortable place to be, whether you're giving the discipline or receiving it. Ultimately, God just wanted the people to follow him with all of their hearts, as he had laid out for them in previous books of the Bible. He wanted to gently discipline them so that their hearts would come back to him in the process. He used these various judges mentioned in this book to be a conduit of what his heart was for them in the long run. If you're ever interested in learning more about this ministry or getting in touch with us in some way, head over to thewaymedia.net.
There you can also find the link to Calvary Knoxville. Thanks for listening to Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.